Okay, quiet group today. All right, everybody, so let's talk about money mindset. And this is, you know, let me just talk a little bit about this because Lydia has talked to me from time to time there and do educational courses on how to build, you know, financial success. And I love it because I, you know, and I'll talk a little bit about my history, but I was, you know, I was pretty well trained when I was young for many different reasons. And so my life has always been about being frugal and, you know, avoiding things and saying no to things that I might want today so I could have something better tomorrow. I understand that delayed gratification concept. And I also understood, you know, I was a tax lawyer and I understood financial planning and I understood stock market because I've been investing since I was in my 20s. And so I have a lot of that history in me in regard to that and taking advantage of opportunities. And so I love that. And so I have that built in me, and when Lydia gave me this book to review, I thought, yeah, I could do this book. So, I mean, that was going to be something that was that's workable for me. And the intriguing part of it is, as I read through this book, I said, I could have written this book, Lydia. So it was really terrific. And Brian Crothers, a lot of you know Brian Crothers, he wrote it. He's huge. He became a multimillionaire through prepaid legal, and quite a guy, and he very different upbringing than mine. He came out of a family that was very wealthy. His parents built huge businesses. They were very entrepreneurial, built huge businesses, and his parents really were keen on developing his kids to be financial success. So they spent a lot of time teaching and training money habits and how to respect money. And I, on the other hand, grew up in a family of scarcity mentality. I mean, we had no dollars. I remember, you know, Christmas would come and I would just pray that I'd have one gift under the tree because they had four kids in 3.5 years. So money was scarce in our house, and we ended up making all our clothes for school. We'd go out and buy fabric and get patterns and make our clothes because we couldn't afford to shop. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, greatness in all of that. Work ethic, building incredible work ethic in the family, but you could tell that, you know, cream cheese and olive sandwiches. I remember I ate those for many years. We never could afford school lunches, so it was always about packing lunches. Mom would pack lunches, and we'd help make them. And we never went out to eat, but they always told me because they could feed us healthier at home, which I think was absolutely true. But it was really more so the expense of it. They were frugal. They didn't have the money to go around to do that. But you know, with all of that, you know, scarcity mentality, it helped me learn the value of money and the importance of saving and the importance of, you know, being frugal in the right times, you know, spending when I want something really special, but being frugal. And it also caused me to go through 4 years undergrad, 3 years of law school, and then a year at NYU out in New York City. And my first 7 years, I worked all through those 7 years, undergrad and law school. I never accrued $1 a debt in all my college, and my parents were basically, I was the fourth kid, so that tells you how much money was left over for me. None, right? So, and that was okay. I had no problem with that. And my other, you know, they just barely, you know, subsidized my other brothers and sisters from time to time. But I worked through all of it, and I had no college debt. And then when I went to NYU, I said, that's it. I'm not working when I'm out in New York City because I want to go and enjoy myself. So, again, being frugal allowed me to have more freedom at NYU, which allowed me to go to stand in line for TKTS and go to, you know, Broadway show after Broadway show and really enjoy my time in New York City. But that accrued about $12,000 in debt, which I paid off in the first 2 years out of law school to get debt off my books. But the mentality was, so I don't think you can really look at what your upbringing is. I think you can develop a money mindset no matter what your background is. It's the problem is, are you doing a healthy money mindset or an unhealthy money mindset? Because money is a very powerful thing. We all can accept that. It's a force that really moves the world. And as he said in the book, he said, people will work all day for it, steal it, cheat for it, lie awake at night because they don't have enough. You know, it'll causes more stress and anxiety. And people love it for reasons that they can use it to change other people's lives by giving it away. So it's a powerful, powerful force in our world today. And I think it's a force today that's really driving a lot of our politics. I mean, I think money, the love of money is a destructive force. The respect for money is a powerful force. So there's two distinct things here to be looking at. And money mindset is a way of thinking. They quoted an author. Her name is Carol S. Dweck. I've read some of her books. She wrote the book Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, How We Can Learn to Fulfill Our Potential, right? And in that book, Carol Dweck talked about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. He said there's two different mindsets. And the fixed mindset, people believe their basic qualities, like their intelligence or talent, are simply fixed traits. So it sounds like a cop-out mindset. Are you getting this? I can justify why I'm not successful because my intelligence and talent were limited. How many times I hear people say, I don't have the talent or intelligence, and I smile because I'm going, that's such a fixed mindset. So they believe that their talent, limited talents and intelligence also create their success, and that's where they're going to be, right? And that's it. That's all they can be. So they blame their life on somewhere they've qualified themselves as limited talent or limited intelligence. The growth mindset, people believe that their most basic abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work. So they look at dedication and hard work. The brains and talent are just a starting point from which we develop, and we work on dedication and hard work. And this kind of viewpoint, this growth mindset, is one that causes us, it kind of creates a love to learn and a resiliency that's really essential if you want to have great accomplishments in your life. Virtually all great people have what? No matter what their brains and talents have been, they've been 100% all in dedication and worked really, really hard. And you can look back in history and say that about lots and lots of people, right? Lots of people that you respect. So we want to look at where, have a growth mindset. I believe dedication and hard work can get me anywhere, no matter where my talent or my brains is. Hard work, learning, that's why we teach the four basics over and over and over and over again with network marketing. Dedication, doing it every day. Remember what Richard Brooks says, just invite one a day, one a day, one a day. Invite one a day. And that's not invite them to presentation, that's just approach one person a day, at least one person every single day, and open up the opportunity, the possibility to look at materials or do something, right? That's all you're doing, one a day, every single day. And he said it'll be a miracle what you create in 4 years. So if you want a faster track, do 4 a day, whatever you want your track to be. But, you know, it's about hard work. It's about going against what you want to do. You're going to sit there and you're going to argue with yourself, well, I'm tired today. Or if you're in Dallas or in Texas, you could say, well, it's raining today. Well, that would have wiped out your last 3 months, right? As floods have come in over and over and over in this area. But the idea is we can think of excuses all we want, but that's not growth mindset. That's what? Fixed mindset, limited mindset. So we want to make sure that we're focusing on, you know, hard work, focus on working hard and being dedicated to something to have that growth mindset. The book also focuses on the growth mindset throughout the entire book from start to finish. It's really about this growth. It talks about, you know, how to really grow and build that. How do we get there? How do we get here, I should say. Sorry, there's a typo. I corrected it in the post-it outline. How did we get here? How many years have put you here today, where you are today? You know, that's where you've gotten today is based on the years behind you. So it's not about, you know, I'm stuck. It's about what am I going to do differently? Can I develop a money mindset today, a healthy growth mindset today, and change my life? Absolutely. It's just a choice. And then it's the discipline behind the choice, right? Little decisions every day can have a compound effect. So it's setting your expectations and exercising self-discipline. And that's really what compounding is about. When we talk about compounding, this ties back to Richard Brook. And he's talking over and over about compounding. We're building it in our next presentation slide to really hammer on compounding. And the compounding concept in money is like, the idea is like, let's say, would you rather have a penny doubling every day for 30 days or $1 million? You guys know this answer. Right? You'd rather have a penny doubling every day because you're going to have like 3 million. I mean, a penny doubling every day creates massive income. And that's what compounding is about. That's one example of compounding. And so many people make a mistake on answering that question. Compounding in network marketing looks like what? I have one person today. Okay, I'm going to go out there and get two people. And if those two go out and get two, now I have four underneath me. And if those four go out, now I have what? Now I have 14 underneath me. And if those go out, I mean, you compound by every two who get two who get two, and you build that out, and all of a sudden you have 1,000 people in your organization in 5-6 levels deep. That's compounding. That's the same as that penny doubling every day, right? One penny today is two tomorrow. Doubling is four the next day, is eight the next day. You're getting this. So it's incredible what this churns out to be. So that's compound effect, understanding the compound. And really, it's setting your expectations and exercising self-discipline around it. That's what it's about. And decisions are driven by what? Made by your philosophy and your relationship with money. And as Jim Rohn tells us, what does he tell you guys? Maybe remember this too. He says you can change your life in any 5 years. So some of you can look at today and say, okay, I choose to change my life today. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. Guess what? It's the first day of the rest of all of your lives. Today is the first day. What am I going to do differently? What changes am I willing to make to really step into compounding effect, to really achieve the wealth and the benefits I know are in store for me? What change am I going to make? Right? It's about driven, you know, because decisions you've made in the past are all based on your philosophy and your relationship with money. If you had an unhealthy relationship, you've created unhealthy results. So it's time to build that growth mindset and have a healthy relationship with money. And don't think your life transforms overnight. It's about making decisions that now are going to be healthy and being disciplined about the decisions you make. It's how you feel about money and about yourself deserving abundance will dictate whether you attract wealth or repel it. Because some of us have been able to rationalize in our life, have chosen to, not by necessarily intentional but default choices we make, that we don't deserve abundance. And some people think, well, you know, we're not supposed to be pursuing wealth. And I talk to people all the time about biblical scriptures, and I just go, wow. I said, let me just ask you one question. If you had $1 million today, what would you do with it? And then they talk. I go, tell me, what would you do with it? Most of them can't even answer because they've talked themselves so out of having income and money because they feel that pursuing money is so evil that they can't even conceptualize having. And I look at them and I go, okay, so let me tell you what I do with my money every day. And I said, I don't earn money to buy cars. I haven't had a new car. I haven't bought myself a new car. I take a hand-me-down from my husband and buy him a new car every 5 years. That's how we work at our house. In fact, the last one, I didn't even use his hand-me-down. I just kept the one I had from before. So my car now is 10 years old that I drive. I put on, I don't know, 5,000 miles a year. Not very much. But the intriguing part of it is the idea that I don't care what my bottom line dollar net worth is today. No one would ever guess what it's worth today. But I build what? I have a foundation. I support counseling. I have a homeless shelter in Texarkana. I go to mission field trips all the time. I finance other people to go into mission trips. I do. I said, so you can use your religion to deny results in your life, or you can use your commitment to the Lord to make a difference in this world in a huge way because you have the capacity to do it. So for people that want to use it as a club and use it as a reason why not and all these kind of things, I mean, to me it's a big excuse why to be ineffective, why I can choose to play life small. So let's play life big, yeah? It's just about, you know, you deserve abundance. You deserve it. And choosing to attract wealth or repel it is really choices that we make based on our position we take around money. And justifying lack and oppression becomes a habit, right? It's a self-proclaiming habit. When you talk, and that's why I work around, you know, Lydia's changed her language magnanimously from the day she started working for me, you know, and her financial situation is phenomenal compared to where it was 15 years ago. But it's an attitude about money, and it's an attitude about financial. It's an attitude. So instead of one of oppression, right, you're going to create, it's a self-proclaiming prophecy for you. So think about it in terms of being broke is temporary. So some of you on the call today, you can go, Mary Jo, I'm broke, right? How am I supposed to do it? I'm broke today. I go, psh. Please say you're broke. Don't ever claim yourself as being poor, because poor is a state of mind. You're not poor. Broke is a temporary status. Okay, so you can go, Mary Jo, I'm broke today. Great. So let's do something about it to unbreak you, right? What can we do differently to build you a massive financial position? And I said, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it can happen over the next 3 to 5 years. You just got to be committed. Committed to change that mindset, right? And when I look at my back and people go, well, what do you, everybody has a different course of life. And I looked at even my, was I ever poor in my life? Oh, my gosh, I grew up in a very poor family. Of course, that's one thing. I remember, I think I've told you guys this story before. A major story in my life was when I was like 5, 6 years old. I remember going to the kitchen. My mom was making, chocolate chip cookies. And the way she made them is she'd made the cookie batter and the cookie dough, because that was so cheap to make that, so easy. She'd do the little balls of cookie dough. She'd put them all in the tray and flatten them down. And then she'd reach up in the top cupboard, because that's a place where the kids couldn't get, right, the top cupboard. And she'd pull down that bag of Nestle's Morsels chocolate. And she'd put one chocolate chip in each cookie, because that's all we could afford, right? We were not very wealthy at that time. And in fact, my dad became wealthy after I started managing money after he retired, but he wasn't before then. But the idea was one chocolate chip in each one of the cookies. And so when those cookies came out of the oven, I found myself eating 10 or 12 of them just to get the chocolate I wanted. And I remember in my head, I remember this distinctly, that I said to myself, I will never want for chocolate. Now you can say that's a funny way to, and boy, does I, and what's so cute about it is, you can say, well, that's such an invalid position to take to, drive yourself to financial success. No, it's not. It was just a little impact on my life that caused me to say, I will never want for chocolate, became a driving force for me to be financially well off my rest of my life. I was never going to want for chocolate. It just drove me, and it wasn't that I eat a lot of chocolate. It's not that chocolate. It's just that it was a signature time and experience in my life to cause me to understand that wealth is everywhere. And in fact, it's something today that I imbue upon my kids, my grandkids and my kids, my two stepdaughters today. You know, when they went off to college, I helped them go to college. And when they got back, I said, what do you want to do? And it wasn't necessarily that it was their husbands and whatever. And I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to think of what you want to do? One went in the mission field. I said, well, you guys focus the next, last year of the mission field, focus on what you want to do when you get out. And it's not going to be a job. And I said, I won't let you go get a job. You know, and they were like, what? And I was like, no, think about what you – come up with a dream. One decided real estate, so I helped them finance them into a real estate DB, like Century 21. Helped them finance them in their Century 21, the first Century 21 business in Georgetown, Texas. Georgetown, just to give you some idea, they were like in the top 3, 2, or 1 cities of growth in the state of Texas over the last like 10 years. So within 5 years of them starting that, they were already making tons of money. Today they're multimillionaires. They're 44 years old. 44 years old, and they're multimillionaires because I supported. I mean, I'm not taking credit for it, but I supported them in being entrepreneurial. A job will never allow you to be a multimillionaire unless you get the top position in that company, right? I mean, otherwise you're just getting salary and you're paying a ton of taxes on it, because that's the worst kind of income you can have in terms of paying taxes. But entrepreneurship is the best. You want to be an entrepreneur. Work for yourself. Drive your own business. Then not only do you have income, but you have asset income. You have an entity that throws off income every year, whether you work at it or not. And that's what entrepreneurship's about. So it's about going. And my other stepdaughter went off, and I helped her finance her midwifery, is what she chose to do after a number of years messing around with different things. And now she's the number one midwifery business in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She has 3 locations and building more, and I'm trying to get her into franchising now so she can retire at the ripe age of 40. So I'm giving her about 4 more years to retire after we franchise this concept. So, I mean, it's incredible what you can do and create, but I don't know what these kids would have done without Mary Jo's influence in their life, but the idea was always have the proper money mindset. Look at, and network marketing is phenomenal for the same reason. Network marketing provides you an incredible opportunity. It's an opportunity. You don't need a Mary Jo. You don't need somebody to fund you into it. At $49.99, you can build a multi-million-dollar business. I don't know where else you can do that, people. That's what makes network marketing so incredulous. And you look at it and say, yeah, but look at the few numbers that really get to that level. Let me tell you the few numbers that get there in real estate or in midwifery or in other businesses. You follow? There are a lot of people that fail in lots of businesses. In fact, when they look at certain businesses, I remember I was looking statistically at a number of businesses where 98% fail in this business, 87% fail in this business. I mean, it's amazing. And people want to complain about network marketing. In this business, it's really up to you. It's not like you're not based on outside factors. It's up to you developing the skill set necessary to be effective in working with people in becoming the leader that you need to be. You know, it's there for you to have. So we want to do that. Stay the course. Build a firm foundation. We're on 3 in the 10. Drill really deep and you'll get the desired results. How you have that network marketing, again, tremendous opportunity for everyone. And don't ask what to invest your money in. Rather, first work on building your growth mindset. That's what you need to do. Make sure your mindset's right, because if your mindset's not right, that doesn't matter what else you do. It doesn't, because you're going to lose everything that you built. So you could ask yourself, have you ever heard these statements? The love of money is the root of all evil. Money can't buy you happiness. Rich people take advantage of others. It's not good to be greedy, so money is not important. The love of money is bad. Wah, wah, wah. These are the language that people use to justify why they're not wealthy today. Why do you need to justify why you're not wealthy today? Stop even doing that. That activity in and of itself will just reinforce why you're never going to be wealthy tomorrow. Does that make sense? If you can justify why you're not wealthy today, you're going to use that justification for the rest of your life. It's silly. It's like a roadblock. You've hit the roadblock, and instead of figuring out the 25 different ways to get around it, you've decided to blame it on the roadblock. What is going on in your life? Stop it. You're free. We live in a country of freedom. You can change today. You can elect out today. So if that's part of your languaging, get rid of it. Write down, every one of you today, take the time, whether it's now or later after you get off this call, take the time to write down all of your viewpoints on money. Write them down. Dig deep. See what's deep inside you and what you feel about money. I'll tell you what Mary Jo feels about money. I love and appreciate money, not for what it buys me, but for how I can change the world with it and help other people less fortunate. That's why I love to have money. And I think the majority of people on this call today could say exactly the same thing, but you're not saying it because somehow you want to be justified in where you are today, why I'm not making money. So we'd love to read scripture about the love of money is the root of all the evil. It's when our focus is all about money. That's where you go wrong. And in network marketing, like even our business today, my focus every day can be, how do I help other people? How do I help people get healthy? Every single day. I do special studies with people on helping them when they're out of their anxiety. I'm helping people now in an incredible way, working with their doctors to help them get off of antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. It's like my whole new focus, and it's so much fun to work through that. What does that have to do with selling Manitou products? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Do people buy them because I'm working with them? Yeah, a lot of them do. That's great. That helps. But even if they don't, am I pouring into their lives? Absolutely. And I love what I do. So these are the kind of things I love, right? And if I didn't have enough financial to be able to do all this pro bono work, how would I have that impact on people's lives? I would. So do I appreciate the fact that I have the money to be able to do that? Absolutely. Right? It allows me to do things that God leads me to do and I feel driven to do in my life. So again, money mindset. 95%, listen to this in his book, he says 95% do not have the right mindset. So we need to shift. We need to look at expense management. We need to look at investing to compound my income and grow. And then we can go out and change the world with it. Okay, what is your personal relationship with money? We already talked about that. Good news, you can reprogram mine right now. You can attract money into your life, right? And what is it going to do for you? That's who you're made of. If I put $1 million in your bank today, what would you do with it? That's what you're made of. Okay, wealth building mindset. Wealth is a noun, rich is an adjective. What does that mean? Well, wealth is a noun. That's a kind of a permanent type thing. Rich is an adjective. That means it changes today. Wealth is a length of time. Rich is a moment by moment. You can be rich today and broke tomorrow. I see a lot of people doing that. In fact, I see a lot of network marketing doing that. There are people in Manatech that made millions of dollars in Manatech, and you know what they have in their bank account? Nothing today. Nothing today. I know them. They're my friends in Manatech. Why is that? Because if I went back and I talked to them, and if you talked to them, they would tell you, well, this is what I did with my money. But I did this, 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 and this. You know, I live in the same exact house I've always lived in. When I was making zero in Manatech, then when I've, you know, and I've crossed the 2 million mark. I mean, I live in the same house. I drive an old car. But what did I do with the cash flow? I invested in real estate. I invested in my kids. I invested in, you know, financing them into their businesses. I invested in all sorts of different things, businesses as well. Invested in my foundation. Invested in private equity capital groups. So making decisions like that, different than buying a house, buying a car, buying this, paying this, you know, buying, going to the clothing store every day. I don't do, that's not wealth mentality. That's not, you know, looking at it as having a proper money mindset, right? We want a growth mentality, not a shrink mentality. So how much money do you need in order to be wealthy? Well, you can say, how much money does it cost me to live on a day-to-day basis? It might, you know, take out your mortgage, all the costs of the electric bills, all the things that it costs on a daily basis. Divide all your expenses in a year by 365 days. There's your, you know, and, okay, that's how much it costs per day, okay? And then if you look at all your expenses for the entire year, you'll get to that number. But if you have a daily expense chart, then you can go time it's the number of years you project to live. If you're my age, 64, and somebody tells me I'll probably make it to 125, I've got another 61 years to go. So I need to multiply that times 61 years times 365 days. That is how much money I'm going to need to live out the rest of my life. Now, I should probably put an inflation factor in there as well. But so then you look at what money you have in residual today and what money do you have incoming based on what? Assets that you've invested in, like Manatech or a business you've grown, that is a residual income stream. Real estate's a great one. I have some stock investments. I have real estate. I've got money managers. I've got other things that, you know, loans that are out there to my kids and stuff like that. So I have a lot of resources that are paying income on a daily basis. So you can look at that and say, where are you? And he talked about network marketers just like I did that were making $50,000 per month, and 5 years later they were dead broke. Why? What happened to them? How do you go from $50,000 a month to go to dead broke? You don't have a money mindset. That's not a money mindset. It's not a healthy growth mindset, right? We're stuck. We're fixed mindset instead of growth mindset. You've got a growth mindset. Disposable income, there's no such thing. I liked it when he said that because that's terminology that's used frequently. Disposable. How much disposable income? There's no such thing as disposable income. You want to develop a new mindset, right? What things cost? Do you want to rob your future to have it now? That's one thing I never do. I don't have to have it now. Do I buy a Starbucks daily or do I put $6 a day aside in my Roth IRA? Wow. Our society is horrible with these kind of decision-making processes. And the worst ones are the ones that are younger generation. They're the worst. Spend a day, worry about it tomorrow. Wow, Mary Jo, what can $6 a day? How can that make a difference in my life? Then I do the extrapolation with an interest return of 7% on it, and I show them how that could be $1 million by the time you're age, you know, 20 years from now. $50 a day. If a Starbucks coffee, right? That's $1 million in 40 years. That's $1 million in your retirement fund. At 20 years old, you could have an extra $1 million if you stop your Starbucks today. Wow. Do you guys ever say that to your kids? But they don't want to wait till 40 years to have $1 million, do they? It's like, oh, no, I don't want to wait for 40 years. That's too far out there. Maybe I'll have strike a gold mine in the meantime, and I don't have to worry about my finances. To buy an extra package on my cable TV, because today's about self-gratification today. I need to be gratified today. I need to have that experience today. $70 a month in a long-term investment. Wow. At $100 a day in long-term investment, look what you can make. At the bottom of your page under ear, it talks about a 10% annual rate of return, and that may not be, you know, what you get today. You might get 7 or 5 or whatever, but it just gives you a chart. At a 10% rate annual return, $100 a day in 10 years, you have $600,000. In 20 years, you have $2.2 million at $100 a day, right? So most of us can't save $100 a day, but we can save $10 a day or $20 a day. But are we doing that today? No, because it's too small. We don't get the compounding effect. We're hilarious as a group of people. We go out there and we try to sell compound effect because of our network marketing business, and we don't even get it for ourselves when it comes to our financial independence. Because putting it in a bank account and earning interest on it or going into investment and reinvesting is a compounding effect. Because every time there's income put in the account, guess what? The income that was in last time is earning it again another month, and your income now is earning it again, and that same income. So it's not just earning on the original investment. You're now earning income on your income. So every interest that's put into your account now becomes part of the principal, which earns income interest on the next month, which becomes earns interest in the next month. That's compounded effect. Has a phenomenal impact on your net worth. Right. It's kind of like my husband. When I married my husband, he had no retirement account. About, I don't know, 8-10 years in our marriage, I said, this is stupid. You can't depend on all Mary Jo's assets. You could, but I said, why don't we, how much is your company, and his company matches 4% or 5% or something. I said, at least we're going to put in 5%. If I first build him a Manatech account, and he was making it, executive director at 20,000. He was making about $2,000 a month, and I would put that into his savings account at work. Every month, $2,000. Every month, $2,000. I did that for about 5 years. And then I started putting just the matching in. So we started doing just his matching 4% or 5% or whatever it is every single month. I cut the check every month. He didn't do it. I did every month. His account today is $600,000. And that was just over a, 10-15-year period? $600,000 out of air. Did I miss that $100 or $20 or whatever it was? In the first part of it, I just used what Manatech was paying in my husband's account because I set up a self-guard account underneath me and built. I was going to build a business anyway, so why not put him at the top of one of my legs and bingo, right? That wasn't money out of my pocket. But are we thinking that way? Notice the growth mindset. Why are we missing that? Why are we missing it? Because we want to buy the cup of coffee today? Because we have things we could buy instead today? Instead of financially bringing financial security to us. So understand the rate of returns and how that makes such a huge difference in compounding. And you'll see more and more of that because we're going to put it in all of our new presentations in Manatech because it is about growing a Manatech business. Proclaim your goals, how much money you're going to have invested, how much cash in the bank. Do a proclamation of these. And I put one in there. It's right out of his book, out of Carruthers' book. And then he gave an example affirmation statement. So daily you do an affirmation statement. You can choose this one or redraft it. If you want Mary Jo to review it for you, I'm all in to help you guys, really. I'm so committed to this process because it's been my life. It's been my experience in my life. This is how I live my life. And I wish and pray everybody lives their life this way. But I'm focused every day on building my wealth. I love money and all the good. Notice, I love money in all the good I will use it for. My financial freedom allows me to call my own shots, live life on my own terms, and I'm excited about today. I'm enjoying the wealth-building journey because I know that what I learn and grow through will be just as valuable as the empire I'm building. I'm smart with my money, and I'm a great financial role model. I do not spend money frivolously. Every dollar I save, I can invest. Every dollar I invest increases my empire. As my empire grows, and personally, I don't like the word empire, but you could do that. I would call it, every dollar I invest increases my net worth. As my net worth it grows, so does my ability to influence others and to be a resource to support great causes and help others. I love that. I have the wealth mindset, and I am attracting wealth every day, including today. Powerful, right? Build that affirmation. Say it every day. Understand the benefits of network marketing. We talked about this already, and I think I gave you this example he had out of his book. The problem with it is there's no way in the world you're going to have only $10,000 of write-offs. I write off everything in my network marketing business. I mean, he doesn't even have a correct list of the write-offs in there, but it's massive how much you can write off. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Hire spouse, hire kids, hire spouse, home office, car, travel, hotels, retirement plan, contributions, on and on and on. And you guys have taken my tax class, and we'll probably kick it off again in January, February, because we have a new tax law, and I trained on it this year, and February, March, I did a training on the new tax law. So I'll be doing that again coming up after the first of the year. But it's important to take advantage of all the tax write-offs you have, because that's what sheltering income. Never have a job. The job is the worst. I can give you 101 people in this world who are financial experts who will tell you having a job is the worst for sheltering income. It's where you're going to pay your highest taxes. So if there's a way you can get around getting, salary income with all the deductions the federal government takes out of it, and instead build your own business and have entrepreneurial income, you're lights out ahead. So that's what you want to do, okay? So investing mindset, whether you have $50, $500, or $5,000 per month to invest, the plan should be much the same. Put your money to work for you, always. Notice, whether you have $50 a month, some of you are going, well, Mary Jo, I can't invest, you know, like you did for your husband, putting $1,000 aside or $2,000. Well, over the last 5-10 years, we've only done the 4% matching. I don't remember what that number is. It wasn't much, though, a few hundred bucks. I mean, peanuts. But over a period of time, look what's happened to it. Who would have thunk, right? But I know, because I know you put it in investment funds. I'm not investing, I'm not picking the stocks. I got an investment fund manager that this multi-billion dollar company uses to help invest the funds for their employees. They're not going to pick losers. They got major sophisticated fund managers doing that. That's okay. My husband wanted me to go into that because he loves the way I pick stocks, and I go, "Honey, wrong. I feel like I'm gambling when I do that, and I don't want to be a part of that." You know, it really, as good as I can be, I don't want to gamble. Isn't that funny? It's a funny, I feel like it's gambling. So I can't, I don't do it. But every once in a while, I will jump in. And for those of you who like stock investments, here's when I jump in. When crises occur, like 9/11, Southwest Airlines stock went from $18 to $9 a share. Now, come on, man. 9/11 wasn't going to stop the airline industry. So what did I do? I bought, 5,000 shares of Southwest Airlines at $9, right? And I doubled my money in 12 months. I got 100% rate of return. Could you guys have done that? Yeah. But how many people buy when things go to pot? They get scared. It's human nature. It's our tendency. People get scared when things are bad instead of BP. Remember when British Petroleum and the oil spill in Gulf of Mexico? BP's stocks fell off the charts, off the table. I went in and bought a ton of BP. People, how could you do that? Well, because I looked at their balance sheet. Of course, my sophistication, my financial background, but I looked at their balance sheet. You know how big British Petroleum? If they go out of business, this world's going to stop. Not that bad. But I mean, they're that huge. They're financial. They could lose billions of dollars, and it would barely nick their balance sheet. So, you know what? it's going to turn around. That took more than a year, but it did turn around, and I doubled my money in that. I mean, those are the kind of things. But enough on stock, and we're not talking about investing. But you can do that. Invest in, you know, I prefer not, again, the gambles. I don't. Invest in yourself, of course. Invest back in your business, personal development, absolutely. He talked about investing in prospecting materials. Today, we really don't have a lot of materials anymore because we have everything is sent by email or text. Invest in yourself. Go to trainings. Build yourself. Become a better person. Self-development, number one way. Get the roadblocks out of your head and out of yourself. Invest in stocks. We talked about that. I just went through why. Cash is king. So if you invest in yourself, accumulate enough to make the transaction costs negligible, right? You just we don't want to get distracted. In fact, even Carruthers said, he said, I used to invest in the stock market all the time, but I found that it was distracting because he was spending, you know, he couldn't stop but take his phone around and look at it every other minute to see where his stocks were going on a daily basis. Well, you know, you don't want to be distracted. Another reason you don't want to do that. Real estate, I love it. It's my number one choice because what happens? And when did I invest in my real estate? I started in 2007. Why? Because the real estate market crashed. It was just like Southwest Airlines. It was just like British Petroleum. When bad things happen, good things happen for you and me. When the real estate market collapsed, you know what? You could go out and buy real estate 5 cents on a dollar. I went out and I bought 8 properties. Every single one of them has doubled in value. Every single one. Every one. Am I selling? No, because I don't want to pay the capital gain. I want my kids to inherit it because they get to step up in basis. So I got all that worked out too, but it's an incredible thing. And they're all throwing off tenants. And if you want to get into real estate management, let me tell you people, the number one thing you do is you treat those tenants like they're yours. They're your family. Why? Because the only time you lose money in real estate is when you have a vacancy. So you know what? I buy Christmas presents for the kids in my different units. They get Christmas presents from their landlord. You know what my average length of time is for people staying in my units? Like Lydia tells me, it's something like 6 years. 6 years is the average time I keep a tenant. Do you know that's ridiculously off the charts? For most people, it's like a year and a half, 2 years, maybe some people 12 months. I mean, 6 years I keep tenants. Why? Because their refrigerator goes out, I buy them a brand new refrigerator. I treat them as I would want to be treated. Where does that principle come from? Sounds like biblical to me. Home ownership, you always want to buy. You don't want to rent. Rent is throwing money away. So find a way to buy. Whether you have a friend who'll help finance it, maybe take a joint position with you. But you buy because then you're pouring money into equity. You're building a return investment. Tax-deferred plans. You know, anytime your government lets you take advantage of money before taxes, you should do it. But today, I recommend to everybody Roth IRA is the best. It's the best. Here's the reason why. Because when you retire and you start collecting Social Security, if you start taking out your IRA funds and all that stuff, that's taxable income. If it's not a Roth, it's taxable. And if you start having enough taxable income, guess what happens to your Social Security? It becomes taxable as well. So you're pushing your income level up to force the Social Security earnings to now be subject to tax. Doesn't sound fair, does it? But that's the way it works. So I like Roth IRA. Why your network marketing is the best cash machine? Because, you know, you're building that and it's throwing off cash every single month. I look at my network marketing, my Manatech business, that's cash every month to me. And when I retire, if I don't work at Manatech one more minute, my business will probably suffer over a time period, but probably for 10 years it'll still be throwing off good cash. So it's like, you know, do you have $1 million invested in bonds at 5%? Who has $1 million to do that? Who has $1 million to invest in real estate, right? But you, over a period of 3 to 5 years, can build a huge asset in network marketing, whether it's throwing off $3,000 a month or $6,000 or $10,000 per month. With adequate leadership development, you can virtually walk away with that. You don't need the $1 million. You need $49.99 to build what people would look at as a $1 million asset. That's what makes network marketing such an awesome model, right? If you treat every recruit as an asset, you look at your people you recruit, they're an asset to you. They're an investment you're making. They are what's going to build your future. They will trigger your cash flow. Treat them that way instead of, they whine about this. You treat them like a liability. Guess what? You'll create no asset. And then what really drives us, right? Why the best network marketing machine? Because it'll give you a phenomenal giving opportunity so you can truly make a difference in this world in the way you feel led to do that. So people, that's all I got to say today. Hopefully that was enough. How are you guys doing? Did you make it through? Money mindset? Did that help anyone? Anyone's response?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Chris Knight, and this was super powerful, super phenomenal, so excited. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Dal. Go out and do it. Let's do it.
All right.
I'd love to do a training like this, like pick up each parcel one at a time maybe if it would help you guys, because this is a love of mine, is to help people become financially independent. And I think there's so many, you know, points here that you just grab, really learn it and build it in your life and start changing your way of life on a daily basis. And I don't care if you're 20, 40, 60, 80 today, you can totally change your life in a period of 3 to 5 years financially. Amen.
Mary, that was beautiful. Will it be up later today? If I'd like to share it on a training with our UK team.
Oh, I can't hear you. You're kind of coming in real light.
Will it be up later today? Because I'd like to share it with my UK team. They have a
Perfect.
Training tomorrow, and I'd love to have them hear part of this and then
you
do
bet.
It at the end.
Super, super. Yeah, I'm going to have Lydia post it as soon as we get off. She'll have it posted.
Terrific. Excellent. It
okay.
was powerful. You know, I
Thanks.
Like what you say. Even if you're 70 or 80, you can make a difference in your life in 3 years. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So don't give up. I don't want, you know, I work with people in their 50s and 60s on financial, you know, becoming financially aware.
I want to share a quick story. My sister's a CPA.
Yeah.
When she was worried about, because my husband's got some challenges, and I'm stuck at home most of the time as a caregiver, and she's like, we're worried about you because how are you going to make a go of it with just your pension and your Social Security? I said, well, I get a commission check from Manatech. She's like, you know you're not working?
I said, yeah.
I said, come on, Linda, you're a CPA. This industry is a compounding industry.
Right.
She was stunned when she figured
Isn't
out what
something?
I was earning. She says, you're making more than me. I have a pension.
And you're not working. And you're not
my husband. And her husband's company went bankrupt to avoid paying pensions to people.
Oh, so there goes the pension fund.
So one of their pensions was gone. So she's living on less than we are, and I'm a home caregiver. So she was,
wow.
You know, that's, I'm going to do it. That's a nice segue. That was planted a seed, so now I can do a follow-up conversation. So
Perfect.
I want your talk for her, too.
Amen. Pass it on.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank
Great.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, let's go out there and make a difference in people's lives, but let's start with yours, right? Let's step into that level of financial responsibility. And you know, and you could say, well, Mary Jo, it's overwhelming. I don't know where to start. Just start. Start small. You got a lot of concepts today that you can take on one at a time and build an incredible future. But the number one thing you need to do is change your money mindset. You got to get focused on growth mindset. Instead of, like, oh, but I have to have this today. Oh, but this is so cute, this new dress. Oh, but I love this new car. I love this new, all this justification for all things in our life that we don't need. But somehow we talk ourselves into deserving them because life is so tough today and it'll make me happy. Let me tell you what'll make you happy. For most of you guys on this call, the number one thing that'll make you the happiest is how you help change this world. And how when you can start giving to other people and changing their lives and watch them smile because you're walked into their lives, that will bring you the greatest joy. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Love you guys. Bye.